Our subject is the sower. What does the preacher know about sowing? Well, a personal experience in his later retired life. I travelled from Levin to Wellington for 27 years. I used to teach in Massey College. Had to be in head office Wellington. Levin was right between them. Then I got more into head office. And for many the last 8 to 10 years, backwards and forwards, 60 miles to work, 60 miles home. When I passed through Wycombe, I'd look up to the bush and see the land underneath. I said, that's where I'd like to live, about 30 miles from the city. And God gave us a lovely home and 10 acres. I sit there and he gives me great inspiration. We can see for 100 miles from our balcony and look at the Creator's handiwork. But I wanted the best 10 acres on the hill. I wanted it to produce the most wool and meat. And I knew it had to be top dressed because it never had been. One of the great men of New Zealand, Bruce Levy, a professor at Massey College, they thought he had gone mad. They saw him up on the side of a hill with four little white pigs with a magnifying glass counting clover leaves 40 years ago. And he found by putting a little dust of phosphate a few pounds to the acre on New Zealand hill country with its 40, 60 inches of rain, planting the clover seed, it would grow. It would create nitrogen. It would make the grass grow. Used to be 1-2 sheep to the acre. Now thousands of acres of beautiful hill country New Zealand, just like a golf course. And 5 sheep, 6 sheep to the acre up there, just as the same as down here in the flat. One man. One man. Now, passed on, knighted after he died. Not recognized for his worth. Sir Bruce Levy. Sir Godfrey had to get some oversow, clover and ryegrass and some top dressing and get it on that hill. It was brown top, wouldn't feed a grasshopper. So he decided to get a helicopter the first year. The helicopter came over and the whole thing was over in 20 minutes. All the kids in the district run up to the hill. All the neighbours thought we'd gone mad. We're right in the town. The helicopter, woo, woo, woo. There was more grass in the bush and on top of the house and the neighbour's property than I reckon was on the farm. All over in 20 minutes, I got a bill for $600. I said, goodness me, I could do a bag before breakfast every morning. For the last 5 years, dear old Godfrey, they wonder what's happening up in the hill. Everybody looks up. Here's 2 plastic buckets, 1 bag this morning. That's beautiful to see the hill green, isn't it? Beautiful to see the sheep on, the lambs gambling in the spring. I've got about 100 shepherds below us. We get a ring. Would Mr. Bowen go and look at that sheep? It hasn't moved for 2 hours. It's lying down up there. Godfrey, don't take your sheep off a hill. They love to see the lambs skipping and playing. And God's given us this little garden right in his town. Dear old Auntie May here, Grandma May, she loved the sheep when she stayed with us. So I know something about snowing, sowing. You take a ton and a half of top dressing on a fairly steep hill and spread it around evenly. You know a little bit about sowing. And here in our subject we have a tremendous example from my favourite preacher, the Lord. The lakeside of Galilee. Hundreds, probably thousands of people gathered to hear him speak. There wasn't 200 people there. If there had been a few hundred, he could have stood on the seashore and talked to them all. There were that many, he had to get in a boat and get out in the water so they could hear him and see him. Dear listener, not lightly do you turn with me to Mark chapter 4, and we read of my favourite preacher, the greatest one of all time, my blessed Lord Jesus. Mark chapter 4, And he began again to teach by the seaside. And there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine. This was the most precious one. He had probably been speaking for 2 or 3 hours. But this was the jewel. This was the one that God wanted recorded in his Bible. Many of his words were not recorded. But this one was recorded for you and I in 1985. Hearken. Behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and it did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, don't forget this story. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. The preacher, directed by the Holy Spirit, this last address at Easter Camp 1985, and you listening on the tape, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. You just sung a song about that. To open your eyes and open your heart and open your ears. Are you ready? Dear listener, are you ready for God's message? He didn't know what he was talking about, the next 2 verses. In verse 13, he said unto them, know ye not this truth, this parable? How then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word of God. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time, but after when affliction or persecution arises, for the word's sake immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. May God add his blessing to this great reading of his words. What do we have here, dear listeners? The seed is the word of God. The sower is every Christian who proclaims their Lord and the word of God. Some are teachers. Some are preachers. Some are personal workers. Some are writers. Some are mothers and grandparents in the home. But every time they proclaim God's message, they are a sower. God bless them. And the grounds is the hearts and the soul of all who listen. Now, I don't know what we're going to take first. When I got this address together and I wrestled with this from 5:30 this morning, that's when I started with this message. I find now I can't get a message ready weeks before. I can only get the skeleton. And the day before I preach it, I've got to get to the Bible and get alone with the Lord and get in the sanctuary and ask Him to give me a message. And He does in a wonderful way. I thought last night after the meeting, I was so tired and so full of headaches, nothing happened. I just went to bed. But He woke me up at 5 o'clock this morning, and very clearly this beautiful message came. That's the way the Lord works. You can't program the Holy Spirit. You can't say, I'm going to go into the sanctuary and it's all going to happen at 9 o'clock. You might find nothing. Mr. Businessman, God might stop you in your car driving to work. Do you stop? You know, a dear brother at Pai Kokoriki, looking away out to the South Island, the road goes over the top. It now goes along the beach. I was getting a message ready down under the rushes with the Lord. Getting a message ready for a big convention I was going to preach in 2 hours' time. And a voice behind me let out a shout. I nearly leapt onto the sea below. It was one of the brothers from the assembly that had snuck up behind me and seen Godfrey. Stopped the car down off the road. Couldn't drive another yard. Because the Lord, the Holy Spirit, was directing my thoughts, my heart, to preach His message. That is a beautiful experience. That is when the Lord is using your gift. But I decided we're going to take the seed first. Now, I like seeds. I've got a few farmers here and a few country people. And I've had a few gardeners. And they got a pumpkin, and Mum loves roast pumpkin in our house. They don't have it in the overseas, but New Zealand likes good roast pumpkin. And there's only about one pumpkin in six any good. And that's a beauty. It's sweet, and when it roasts, ooh, I love good roast pumpkin. But I hate bad roast pumpkin. And the worst thing is pumpkin soup. I don't like it at all. But they get a lovely pumpkin, and what do? They keep the seed of it, and they dry it, and it's fine, and they say, we'll grow this pumpkin, the best roast pumpkin we've ever had for the last 12 months. Others love tomatoes. He says, man, these are ruby reds. I don't know what they are, but they're his speciality. And he takes one of the best ones, and he dries it there, and it dries in the sun, and he gets the seed, and he dries it out. And they go all around the street as he plants them. His favorite tomato. Is a preacher talking about a miracle? Dried in the sun. You kill everything else. It withers and dies. But when you talk about seed. A little hard seed. Chewing's fescue. Down in Lumsden, New Zealand, one man, Mr. Chewing's, created a grass that's a lawn grass across the world. Down in one place in Otago. This preacher's seen thousands and thousands of different seeds bringing forth to their kind in a little bottle. The little clover seed of Bruce Levy, you could hardly see it. Put it in a bag of top dressing, you wouldn't know it was there. Little wee round, little hard, little orange, pink, blacky seed. But there's life in it. Dig up the tombs of Pharaoh. That great tomb in Egypt. You know what they found in one of the stone jars? They found a seed of corn. You know, there was one Christian in the group, and he said, there's life in that seed. They said, you must be mad. It's been there for centuries. And they planted it in some soil, and up came the corn of Egypt. Life in the seed. I showed you New York, man can build a city. But only God can make a tree because it grew from a little seed. And He put life in the seed. And there is no scientist, no expert, no person in all this world can take that little wee seed and put life in it. It's the greatest, wonderful revelation of my mighty Creator. And that's why this is so important. That's why this was a parable that was recorded. Because the seed is the Word of God and it's alive. It's a living message. And it's the only one that's alive.
and all the books and all the writings and all the commentaries are just types and shadows. But there is one holy book that John Wycliffe in that film translated to the English people. One that Martin Luther wrestled with. One that other great men of history have given us. The living Word of God. No prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For though this Word came not in old time by any will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And God wrote His message for people, for humanity, the living, blessed Bible, the Word of God. And it's life in it. It's got the power and the life to move nations. The power in it to redeem lives. A young brother, he's tested me last night. Amen, brother, I look at you down there. It's the power of the living message that redeemed you. The power of this wonderful message. It's alive. I tremble as I handle it. It's outsold all others in over 900 languages. Loved and cherished by millions of Christians. 39 books, the old, 27 the new, and you know what I've got here in my notes that God gave me this morning at 5:30? Just as God provided different seed for every need in the climate, dry, wet, hot, cold, low, high, so for the sustenance of man and all living kind, He got a seed for every bit of soil in the world. Every temperature, every climate, there's a seed where it will grow and feed man and those around him. He provided a verse in His living Word for every spiritual need. Amen, Lord. What a wonderful picture. There is no other book that even compares. The British Commonwealth, the Book of Truth. Our laws based on it. Go into court and put your hand on it and swear you're telling the truth. Thank God for Christian democracy. Thank God for a gracious Queen that gives this message across the world at Christmas time. Don't ask me, is she a Christian? Of course she's Christian. Oh, she wouldn't refer to God's holy word like she does. She wasn't, she'd leave it out. God bless her. God bless her dear mother, who was a real Christian. And her dear father in the last war, some of you people never heard him. He gave as much hope as Churchill did. And he gave it in a Christian setting. He was a dear Christian. And could I be a little old-fashioned? That's what you young people are going to say? Mr. Preacher's not old-fashioned, dear friend. Mr. Preacher's going to say something now he's never said before, but he's going to say it. And those of you listening to this tape, stop and listen. Mr. Preacher loves and prefers and believes in the King James Authorized Version. It has been the base for texts on walls for centuries. It has been the base for all those beautiful lines in hymns. It has been loved by your great-grandfather. If you have a family Bible and go back in your heritage and your history, as many do in New Zealand, you look at its reverent pages. And if you find it a little hard to understand, that's what God wants, that you stop still and learn and kneel and wait and listen. And if you find thee and thou a bit hard to say, you be reverent to my blessed Lord Jesus. And you take this holy scripture and put it in easy, everyday conversation language, and you lose something of God's holy word. Yes, it's good for Bible readings, the modern versions. Yes, it's good for me in my studies to have it there and just read it as an aid.
But every preacher and teacher and minister of God, when he gets up to lead the church and the Lord's people, has no right to have a version of only 5% of the people know. And they can't even follow his reading. Dear teacher of God's word, be challenged. When I met Her Majesty the Queen, I didn't walk up and say, "How are you?" I wasn't allowed to. I was briefed to address her as Your Majesty. And Godfrey Barn had to stop still and make sure what he was saying, "Your Majesty." Now that's our Queen. What about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? You're just going to say, "How are you?" Well, you can do that in your home, in your Bible reading, in your little prayer groups. I don't mind. But dear listener, you don't do it in the house of God. You give him his full title. And you stop still and you know something about reverence. You know, it's the one thing that churches can teach the open brethren. The one thing. Come in and kneel down. Before you do anything, you in worship kneel before your God. It's something that's touched me as I've been invited to go with them. And too many times we arrive late and leave early, and noise and scratching all round the room, and we're coming into the presence of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Where does all this start? By conversational prayers, by modern English, by taking away the beauty and the holiness of God's beautiful word. I say no more. But dear God, you wanted me to preach it, and I have preached it. May God, I give it in grace. I give it in love. I believe there is wonderful gift of young men who don't realize what they are doing. I love them. They've got wonderful gift, but they get up with a version that we can't even follow to lead the Lord's people in a church that loves them. This is a beautiful, holy Bible. It has thrilled the nation for centuries, and Martin Luther, he died for it. Let's treasure him and his memory. It gives us all the answers. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction. I think I was a schoolmaster, wouldn't you? This man over here wanting his children to get through school cert. Do you think that's what I'm talking about? Well, it's the same thing spiritually, dear brother, isn't it? Not to pass a university entrance, that the people of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished into all good works. And they won't get that from the preacher. They'll get that from this living message. All the preacher's doing, dear listener, is to open the door. And you have to go and study to be inspired, to have your roots on a solid rock of doctrine, to be reproved, but to be corrected, to be instructed and learned, and made perfect in Christ by this living Word of God. It tells me we're all about creation. I love Hebrews. I understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. I don't have to put a lot of noughts and crosses on a blackboard and write a book, and when I die someone else thinks I'm wrong. I don't have to dig up a dead fish in a rock 1,000 million years old and say the Bible's only 6,000, what about it? I only have to read in this blessed word of God about my Creator, that in the beginning God created. Amen. That'll do, Godfrey Barn. One day I'll know all about it. I don't know how long the first week in Genesis, but I do know to my God, one day is but 1,000 years. And the Bible led me to be the eye of the soul and told me all about my faith and my Creator. It tells me what I am. I'd like the world to read it a bit more.
That I'm not just some animal, that I'm a body, I'm a soul, and I'm a spirit made in the image of God.
And the world's forgotten that. They're charging around now like animals. And you can see the result. It tells me where my sin, my bad, comes from Adam. It tells me where my good comes from, cleansed from all unrighteousness. By nature, my heart from Adam is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Ooh, that's tough, Godfrey. That's true. But in Christ I am cleansed from all unrighteousness.
It tells me of my spiritual enemy. We've talked about him. Goliath, old Satan, a roaring lion. Tells me how to watch him.
When the Lord looked at Satan in one of our addresses, the first one, and said, "What are things?" Beautiful to have that living word and put Satan in his place.
It tells me of death and also of life. As in Adam I die, so in Christ I live. It tells me of beautiful relationships. I think I've already covered them. Every time that tape is played on the value of a child and a family, I would that this family go and give their item first.
What a testimony to that message. God bless you. You fill my heart with joy as I sat there. You're an example of the results of that challenge in that message. The value of a child, a family. God bless you, item. We love you for it. It tells me of my attitude in the workplace.
It tells me as a Christian I should not be 5 minutes late and leave 5 minutes early. It tells me I should not just be a man pleaser. And it so disappoints your preacher when he hears that I employ 200 people and the 20 Christians are the worst workers I got.
My heart cringes. May we be challenged to be the best worker. If you'd like my testimony, go to the New Zealand Wool Board and in 30 years ask them of a stewardship. Not for the sheep and wool people of the world in New Zealand, but for my God. I thank God for testimony of some I see here, and I hear your testimony. You be the best for the Lord. It tells me of the community to love thy neighbour as thyself. That's not the world. The world's number one. I'm all right, Joe. You go. That's not Christian. That's not the living message. The neighbour across the street. The good Samaritan. The open home.
It tells me of giving. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. It tells me of loving a love that is not a physical love, a great Christian love that can pass every boundary.
And it tells me of my destiny, heaven and hell, the answer to all life's questions, and its greatest message of all. It presents the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Redeemer and Lord, the Shepherd, the Saviour, the Friend, to millions of His believers, and from Genesis to Revelations, He's a central theme. In shadow, in type, in prophecy in the Old Testament, in presence and fact in the New.
No wonder this living Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. All right, Mr. Preacher, that's all very good. Where's your challenge? Well, now our challenge is in the sower. We're going to talk about the sower. And I had never seen this. I've preached on this subject a few times, but I overlooked the sower. And when God woke me up this morning, and I went to my Bible, suddenly was revealed to me the great challenge of the message. Not only the living seed, but the sower. We overlook the sower. Let's have a look at the sower. First thing I noted, it was a skill easily learned. You don't have to be a professional. Dear listener, to this tape and in this audience, you can start now. If you're a child of God, you don't have to go through that Christian college and have 20 letters after your name. You can start now. It is easily learned to be a sower. And no Christian can say, I have no gift. That isn't possible. Because in Ephesians 7, the gift of the Spirit, the manifestation of the Spirit, is given to every believer. And if the Spirit is manifested in you, you must be very weak if you don't become a sower. Wouldn't be much Spirit, would it? When I see our song leader leaping around, what makes him leap around? Well, that's the natural Spirit in him. And when I see the joy on someone's face, and I'm not in their home 2 minutes, and they're telling me how they love the Lord, I'm seeing the Holy Spirit manifested in them. They're a sower. The next thing about the sower, the main qualification, you must know something about what he's sowing. If I saw a guy sowing in the field and I went up to him and said, what seed are you sowing, mate? He says, I don't know, it just looks like seed to me. What do you think it's going to, mate? What do you think it's going to reap? Oh, I don't know, something will grow. He'd be great sort of a sower, wouldn't he? No. He's like that pumpkin. He knows it's going to grow sweet pumpkins. He's like that tomato. He grew them the year before. You see, he's like young David. He had proved it. The lion and the bear. What a sower he becomes when he knows what he's sowing. You know the other thing about the sower? He's got to enter the door to get the seed, and he's got to come through the door with the seed blessed. I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And he is the door of every teacher, preacher, steward, anybody. Every sower must have been through that door. Third thing I've got, a good sower sows in season. He's never too late. And he's never too early. And being too early is just as bad as being too late. And he's like the tree in Psalm 1. His roots are in the rivers of water. His leaf doesn't wither. And he brings forth fruit in season. Beautiful, isn't it? And there are many sowers charged around like mad bulls, too early and too late. The next thing about the sower, they all use different methods. Some sow into the wind. Some sow with a crosswind. Some sow with a following wind. Some sow with only one hand. Some sow with right and left hand every other stride. Some mark their spot with a little white stone. Others mark their spot with a footprint. They all use different methods. Don't pattern your sowing on the preacher. You're going to fail. You just give yourself to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to be a sower, and he'll use your talents. And he'll give you a method and a skill that is yours to be blessed. And a good sower covers the ground. He doesn't miss any. You know, old Godfrey says that he takes time And he doesn't miss any of the 12 acres. Even down in the rushes. Even in those weeds. Let's get a bit of clover growing there. That'll make the grass grow and the rushes will disappear. Don't walk past the rushes and say, that'll be waste. It's not my job to say which ground. It's my job to sow and cover the ground. You know what you can miss the easiest? Right under your feet. You can say, so busy scattering afar that right under your feet you haven't sown. Grandparent in the family, you've been challenged. Dear parents in the home. How many men of God have been so busy charging around, scattering it afar, they never had it in the home? It's a great challenge to us all. Start at home first, under your feet. When you got that right next door, down the street. When you got that right, then you might have a little more professional skill to go a bit further. The other thing about a sower, he expects a result. And if he doesn't get one, he tries again. My dear brother here sowed the grass around this place. It looked like a wilderness when I was here 6 years ago, but he expected a result. He got one, didn't he? And you know, when he is scattering that seed round, he hasn't told me, but I'm looking straight at him and I know that sometimes it didn't grow. And do you know what he did? He went and scratched the ground and he gave it another go. And he covered the ground and expected a result and he got one. The other thing about this sower, he's a tireless worker. He keeps on keeping on. He never retires. He never gets too old. Isn't it beautiful? Until the day he dies. And she dies. They keep on sowing. God bless them. In a hospital covered in pain. In a hospital, a serious operation. They're not on their feet 2 minutes and they're round the beds doing some sowing. What citizens they are. What child of God. How I admire them for being that sower of the living word. And the other thing about the sower, the spirit-led sower has asked God for direction before he casts the seed. Can I say it again? Listen on the tape, dear friends. The spirit-led sower has asked God for direction before he casts the seed. He asked for timing. He asked for place. He asked for direction. He never madly rushes out scattering seed in all direction in the wrong places. With his own self-righteousness, wisdom and strength. You've seen this person? I have. He's a religious crank. You can't even talk about the sun shining and he's ramming it down your throat. Scattering it whatever he goes, expecting a result. No prayer. No examination. No looking at the situation. Maybe he should have had him in his car, clipped his head, took him fishing, done something. 6 months before the time was right. Don't think you are going to qualify as a sower if you madly rush out in your own strength. You're in for some failures. But dear potential sowers, if you ask God to direct you and use you for timing and place and direction, when you're ready to sow, it's a beautiful experience. You see, Peter was a great fisherman and he fished all night and got nothing. And he thought it was a stranger standing on the bank and he said, put the net on the other side, Peter, I'll teach you something about fishing. Peter just said, there's no fish there. This is where they always are, this way where the wind's blowing. He said, put it on the other side, Peter. He caught 153 like that. He said, it must be the Lord. Of course it's the Lord. I'll make you fishers of men. You will catch where I tell you to put the net. You will reap where I tell you to sow. You make yourself available as you leave this camp. And warning to every sower, you'll reap what you sow.
The world has sown violence and it's reaping violence. They wonder why all these little kids and their gangs only got to look what we're looking at on TV. Sow violence, reap violence. Sow hate, reap war. Sow rubbish and weeds, reap rubbish and weeds. Sow immorality and destroy the home and the nation. But thank God, Mr. Preacher, sow righteousness and reap righteousness. May we each be challenged to be a sower for the Lord. And finally, on the sower, there is no greater experience than sowing and reaping. You know, my greatest thrill, perhaps, in my physical work is to go back to Russia and to have the 500 best shearers come from all over the Soviet Union and meet Godfrey in one place and all day long have him sit there in front and show him how well they could shear. And he first went, they were clipping it off with scissors with legs tied. Now a beautiful Russian girl takes a merino sheep and just peels the wool off it in 2 minutes and holds the fleece up without a second cut, and a beautiful rosy-cheeked smile, and looks at the peach of the master and says, "Have I done well?" There is nothing more blessed than that. To go to Africa, we got all this apartheid, and have them say, "Godfrey, I believe tomorrow at Murray's Field we're going to stop the show and you're going to show these black blokes how to shear." I said, "Are you a sheep farmer?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Well, you've got it all wrong. Tomorrow we're going to stop the show and Godfrey's going to show you how sheep should be shorn. And I want to know what you're going to do about it." See, that's the problem, isn't it? Black blokes. I'm not going to be in a course with a black bloke, I'm a white man. I'm not going to be in golden shears if he enters. Well, don't come then. The Minister of Agriculture, "Mr. Bowen, do you tell me that in our farm institutes we've got to train shearers? It's our job to train farmers." I said, "What's the difference? The modern day farmer must know how to drive a tractor, weld a part, shear a sheep, put up a fence, do anything, or he's not even worth giving a farm loan." And every young man in New Zealand today can shear a sheep proficiently. And when Godfrey retired the Electoral College, who elects the wool board, every man had been through a shearing course. The chairman of the British Wool Board is a shearing instructor. A new dimension in agricultural instruction. It is not the boss there and the worker here. They are together. Great thrill as Mavis and I went round the world. Many times the emotion welled up. I couldn't believe that God could use me to use so many people and create that bridge. But you know a greater thrill? Is to come to this camp. And I see two or three adult men here who gave their heart to the Lord when I was here last. I see them with their families praising the Lord, and families have gone on. That's a greater thrill. You find it's a great challenge to go and be a sower. Dear friend, I tell you, it's the greatest privilege in Christian faith. And the greatest thrill in a Christian pathway is to lead a soul to the Lord. May God help you each one to so have that experience. Last thing I have on sowers, and then I'm going to just finish on the ground. In the last chapter of Luke, the two men on the road to Emmaus, they had a great experience with the blessed Lord Jesus. He went into the upper room and he showed them his hands and his feet. He opened their understanding and they stood there and see him appear back to his Father and open the heavens. And they stood still and said, that's a great thing we've seen. And they shut their mouths, no fear. They went forth and opened their mouths, praising the Lord and telling the great things they'd seen. You see, they had an experience with the Lord and they became a sower. Just as well we didn't overlook the sower, isn't it? I think every one of us here and you have felt the great challenge of being a sower for the Lord. Now we just close on the ground. The shallow heart, stony ground. You know, down in Otago, we've got that big, beautiful area down in Otago with about 10 inches of rainfall. And down in Otago, they've got these big, flat, slate stones. And you can have a beautiful field of 50 acres and just below the surface is one of these big flat stones. Might cover the size of this stage. Then you go for 50 feet with deep soil, then you hit another stone. You know, I've seen those fields planted with wheat. You know, the first ones to show are the ones where the stones are. They grow first. They look the best. And then when I fly in a plane across them about 6 weeks later, I can see patches of yellow. You know what that is? That's all the stony patches. You see, the seed was on shallow ground. It got in, but it couldn't get down. And are you saying there are those people here today, Mr. Preacher? Look, Mr. Preacher knows all about these people. He's seen hundreds like this. I go to a camp, I go to a convention, and they come up to me, lovely message, isn't it wonderful singing? Oh, isn't it beautiful? It's a great experience to be at this camp. Oh, I'll be back again. Oh, goodness me. They're climbing the mountains. In 1 week and you never see them. That's shallow ground, isn't it? They never meant a word they said. They were just putting on a great show. Oh, dear listener, mean what you say. I dealt with a man yesterday. He was an honest man. God bless him. I dealt with a man the day before, and he was an honest man. And I dealt with some adults here 6 years ago, and they were honest people. And I am not for some evangelist pulling people out with appeal after appeal after appeal, and 20 come forward, and we never see them again. That is shallow ground. We make any commitment to the Lord, make it deep and real. I don't like shallow ground. Then there's the hard ground. Oh, these are hard, aren't they? God, he's preached and preached and preached. You know, there's a big sort of Russian brother here when I was here for two camps. And I said, I will preach him and pray him into the kingdom before I stop. It hasn't happened yet. He seemed to be so hard to get near. You know what I feel? It's a bit like the path around the outside of the field where the tractors have been. You know where you run down, backwards and forwards, packed like a bowling green. Seed goes on, it's that hard, it can't get down. And some of these have been run over that many times, they got so hard they can't be cracked. Pray for them. I hope that dear brother, they tell me he's going for a big operation in hospital. Pray for him. He knows. He knows that Godfrey loves him and prayed for him and counseled him. Pray for him that he comes to the kingdom before too late. May he take an operation, the plowshare of God's word, to break his heart. Don't say the hard ground can never be broken up. God's word is like a hammer and it can break the rock in pieces. It's like a plowshare. And then we've got the divided heart. The seed got in and it got down, but it got no room. It didn't have an undisputed hold. The charismatic Pentecostal people have grabbed hundreds and thousands of these people and said, well, what you didn't have was the real filling of the Spirit. And they said there's some wonder of a new special. That's impossible. The moment you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, you accept the Holy Spirit as your indwelling comforter and guide, and God your Father. And if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And the only reason the Spirit can't work in a person, because it's a divided heart. It can't grow wheat because it's so full of weeds. It comes up, but it's got no room to move. Two people in a White House would be possible for one to be a resident and not a president. But it's also possible for one to be the resident and the president. That's a lovely picture of the ongoing bright Christian life, isn't it? That the Holy Spirit's resident in this White House. I trust, dear God, that he be president too. Divided hearts, hard work. One foot in the world and one in the church. The world don't want you, and the church is just wondering what's happening. Be challenged. It's good ground, this. Must be. It's where the weeds grow. They always grow on good ground, don't they? Thorns and rushes always find the best. If you get rid of them, that's where you get the best crops. And some of the mightiest evangelists in all our Christendom were men that had divided hearts. But God called them, liberated and used them. And they had all the power they had for growing weeds. They had for growing wheat. And then there's a good ground. An open heart. The seed got in, it got down, it got room. And after patience and endurance, it burst forth to fruitfulness. It is the same sun. It is the same seed. It is the same sower. What's the difference? It's good ground. You ever been with a farmer and you're admiring his crop just through the gate? He said, you think it's good here? Just come over here to this good ground. Just come down here. He goes through about two or three chain, down a little bit of a hollow where there's a bit of moisture. And he shows you the ground. He stands beside the wheat. And he counts the corns on a maize cob. And he talks about so much yield to the acre. You see, it's good ground. Beautiful to see. And dear God, as I close this message, if I could be good ground for you, if I could be so challenged in this camp with all we've heard, to go forth and be good ground. The sower is more active than ever before. My big mate here on the radio last night appreciated that, Eugene. Television, Bible in schools, churches, records, commentaries, videos, service in all the languages. The seed is miraculous and powerful and life-giving as it ever been. But it's got to hit good ground. My heart and your heart. May we each be challenged. Let the plowshare of God's word break up fallow ground, our own hearts. And let God's word get in, get down, and get room. And the desert will bloom like a rose, and blessings beyond comprehension. And the last time I preached this message, my great spiritual friend, Stan Lamble, few years older than me, but we both preached together in so many conferences and conventions. And I speak to an open gathering like here on Sunday morning out in the wind. And Stan was sitting over there. And I looked at Stan 30 years together in God's work as sowers. And I says, Stan, it's been beautiful, hasn't it? When we think of the 30, the 60, the 100. And that dear man said, Amen, Godfrey. The seed, the greatest living word the world has ever known. The sower,
everyone that proclaims a message. God bless every soul. I challenge you each one to be one. And the ground, my heart and yours. May God bless this message to us.